You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
Yes. Hello, everybody.
Okay. Wow. Well, sultry.
That was a little creepy.
How are we? I mean, I could try to be a little bit
deeper.
I don't think this is
deep. What's up, baby girl? How are you?
Now you're having a chuckle.
Keep off your clothes.
It's not that creepy. It's not that romantic.
Everybody is now aware that I have updated our soundboard, and Alexis is now going to be using some of these features to incorporate into our program.
I have a feeling that the soundboard will be moving slightly further away from me throughout the episode.
Okay. Alexis has a new toy.
But I still got my old joints. What's good, everybody?
What's good? As always.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Cristian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. Your favorite joke slanging comedians talking about footy.
Don't make me hit that high voice and say what else we slanging out here.
Okay. That'll make more sense later in the show.
Yeah.
It's gonna get a little sultrier, you know. Cover the children's ears, folks.
We're gonna have some alone time with the Cooligans, you feel me?
So
it's what you've always wanted, folks.
Okay. People have been saying this show is not, you know, it doesn't make me wet enough. People, our comments are always just like, y'all ain't doing it for me.
Nah, it used to be like walking through a car wash. But not anymore.
Y'all fell off as soon as I dried up.
Right? Damn. Okay. I wanted to make an announcement about a child's academy that's doing really well, but I'm going to wait a little bit so they can clip that out.
Give it a second.
Yeah, we should let it
rest.
Sorry, it's a little bit of an adults only in the pool right now.
What's good, everybody? A lot to go over today. A lot of announcements, a lot of news, Major League Soccer going.
We have announcements?
We have announcements, yes, because the main announcement is the Premier League Fan Fest. I will be emceeing the Premier League Fan Fest.
Yes, you will.
This year in Nashville, or this, who knows if they do it again this year, but yes, I will, I'll be the host. You see it there. Go to NBCSports.com/PL Mornings Live Nashville. If you want to register, we've had an incredible time doing this. We did this in Orlando. We did this
in
Philly.
I don't get to be a part
Alexis
of this.
Can't be a part of it.
I mean, I think you guys
can figure out why. Yeah, he can't be a part of the NBC Premier League Fan Fest.
Yeah, so it's a slightly different acronym than the one that shows up on my pay stub. So I can't ruffle the feathers
exactly
with a peacock. You know what I mean?
Okay. So so that's why some people are asking, why is it just Christian? I mean, and I have to tell him, Alexis got canceled, bro.
Yeah, bro.
He just too many. He's too problematic.
Yeah, dude. You guys knew it all along. So, but who cares, bro? You're gonna do an amazing job.
I'm stoked. April 6th and 7th in downtown Nashville.
What did you say 6th?
I said April 6th.
Thank God. I'm like, do not
7th.
Turn English on this, bro.
That's not going to, that ain't going to happen to me, dog. Yeah. Okay.
Hit me with a Cheerio on the way in.
You'll never hear an English accent out of me.
But you might hear this, okay? So, you know, this is the new meme.
Oh, no. Well,
what is it? This is the new meme. This is how we're talking about. I was with y'all. I said you should have been the ref.
So, yeah, so April 6th and 7th, come through if you are, especially if you in Tennessee.
I've never been to you a cowboy hat, bro.
Bro, I'm going to be dressed like Beyonce from Texas Hold'em.
Texas No Hold'em, bro.
Okay. So I'm be, you know, basically preaching about why Beyonce can do country. Uh-huh. And she is country.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She is some respect.
She is from Houston. I'm going to go to, I mean, Nashville.
She don't need no country music radio station. Country music radio stations need her.
Let's go. All right. So Beyonce.
You might not make it out alive. Nashville.
Because Nashville is the mecca of country
live,
music.
Live music.
Dolly Parton.
Bro, you going to turn this into Cashville. You feel me?
Johnny Cashville.
Yo, you might even turn it into Smashville, bro.
Okay, well, my wife would not be happy if that was the case.
No, but she could go. Oh, y'all yeah, can make yeah, it romantic. Good. You know what I mean?
That's
all getaway. Nashville's not a super romantic city, bro. Yeah, I got to be honest. A lot of bachelorette parties.
Bachelorette parties are very common. Yeah.
A lot of wooing.
Yeah. My wife is actually going to a bachelorette party like in 2 weeks.
Oh, right, she's going to Smashville?
I hope she isn't.
Oh, no. You ripped apart the family for a funny trip.
I looked at the plane ticket and it says Smashville, Tennessee. Where are you going?
So, damn, you land and then take off and then land and then take off in the airport.
Nah, bro. Nah, I'm not happy about all that.
Yo, I need to check my wife's itinerary while I'm gone.
So, yes, April 6th and 7th, go register if you want to, if you're nearby or you want to, you know, hang out with some Toffees. Nashville has a great Toffee supporter group.
And the candy or the team?
The team. The Nashville Toffees. Yeah. All right. So,
go to Nashville and let my boy know how much nicer it is to not have me yelling upset to the microphone.
So, it's going
to
be dope hanging out. Obviously, Rebecca Lowe, the two Robbies, Tim Howard. It's always a lot of fun. So, come through.
I'm so sad. Maybe I'll go and hang out.
Okay, we'll see. Right.
We'll see. Yeah, I got a little trip of my own plan that I can't really talk about.
But. Exactly. Alexis has to...
I'm going to Smashville!
What's Smashville like this time of year? All right.
I'm going to Smashtown, dude.
You wanted to mention the Project Gold thing, right?
Yes. Shout out to Project Goal.
Project Goal is an organization in Rhode Island that
we've worked with before.
We hosted like a gala for them once. Yes. And they just had some great news. They got, I believe, a grant.
They got a grant, which is huge. And if you don't know, Project Goal is a greater opportunity for athletes to learn. So they've been 20 years. It's the 20th anniversary. 100% free tutoring, mentoring, transportation, soccer coaching, school, and soccer supplies. When we found out about this, they asked us to host their event. We had to wear suits. There's a photo of the two of us at a podium in suits. And we were very staunch about not wearing suits. But for this event, we did it. We got to hang out with Shaka Hislop.
I remember that lady that it was like a grandma or like one of the kids and stuff like that. Yeah. And she won something, like it was a raffle or something like that. And we were taking photos with everyone who was in the raffle. And she asked us to give her a kiss. So it's both of us kissing this like just old white lady.
Yeah.
And it's like the sweetest thing in the world.
Like a barefoot Contessa. Just like both of us. Tonguing down the barefoot contestant.
I mean, it wasn't that.
Hold on.
You're gonna clip this part out.
That was different picture than I imagined.
If I remember correctly, there was also the autographed soccer ball by like Mark Anthony, the singer.
Right.
And we just kept roasting.
We couldn't
believe
that Mark Anthony signed the soccer ball
for no reason. He's never once kicked a soccer ball in his life.
My man, he does. He salsas before taking penalties.
Yeah. You celebrating early, dog. It's a confusion. But dude. 95% graduation from high school rate.
I mean,
absolutely incredible what they do for the community out there in Providence, Rhode Island, and the surrounding areas. And we need more groups like this.
Yeah, it's seriously. Shout out to Darius, who's the I believe the president of the organization.
Yeah,
and they even got, I believe they have one player from the Project Goal like program. That made it professional.
Made it pro,
that,
yes.
That plays on the New England Revolution.
Yes.
So they have
their gala, the thing we hosted. They have it coming up June 13th in Providence, Rhode Island. It looks like their special guest is going to be Steve Nichol, who you got, a lot of you guys know from ESPN FC and former Liverpool Scotland legend and head coach for NE Revs, New England Revolution. Bunch of cool stuff. I mean, they're great people. If you're anywhere in that area and you have a little bit of money in your pocket burning a hole,
yeah, dude.
Give it to these guys because they're absolutely amazing.
Seriously, awesome organization. And congrats. Yeah, they were awarded a FIFA Foundation grant. And it's one of 130 organizations globally being awarded and only one of six organizations selected from the United States. So it's a really, really dope accomplishment and milestone for an organization that genuinely does really, really great things for kids and families in that area. And we met them in person and, like, even some of the alumni and stuff like that. So it's just a great, great story. So happy to share that info. Okay, let's get into some football news.
Let's go.
Because the Manchester Derby happened over the weekend. Did. And it happened.
City fans know that. United fans are like, no, that couldn't be it.
It happened a little bit more, harshly to the to the Manchester United fans. But the Manchester Derby, I think this was one of those games, sometimes feels like a trap game, given this title race. Feels like a trap game sometimes for City, where, the record has not, necessarily been incredibly dominant, right? United, they win.
I'll look it up. I'll
from time to time. We got to look at the head-to-head, but the in recent history.
Well, 15 times in a row, 15 times in a row that United took an early lead, they ended up not losing that match.
Right. They were mentioning on the broadcast about, like, leading at halftime. Like, essentially, Manchester United.
That goes back a decade in general, but against City itself, 15 times in a row that they had gone up first.
Mm-hmm.
They won that match, or did not lose that match.
City have actually won, it looks like, 7 of the last 10.
So. Yeah, they've been pretty significant. It's been in their favors pretty significantly. But I think the difficult part of this match is, like, the beginning, the first 10 minutes, you're like, okay, I see how United want to try to do it. And then that Rashford goal goes in, and you're like, yo, this might work.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that Rashford miss, and you're like, yo, this ain't gonna work. whose idea was this, bro?
Yeah, it's essentially, once the Rashford goal went in, and I saw, Tim Howard at halftime in the broadcast, Rebecca Lowe asked Tim Howard and Robbie Musto, like, can they do this? Can they hold on?
Yeah, because it was 1-0 at half.
It was 1-0 at half, and Tim Howard was like, no. This is not happening. They can't do it. Robbie Musto was like, you know what? There might be a possibility.
Robbie Musto's the romantic one.
Robbie Musto was like, if they can just defend, like,
maybe there's a way. Tim Howard's like, y'all need to wake up.
Robbie was like, if they can defend the way they defend, maybe they can do it. But what it also, United having the lead at halftime also required Erling Haaland missing the,
oh,
I mean, it was
God,
inches
bro.
From the damn goal.
Do you want to know the XG on that shot?
Go for it.
Do you want
to
guess?
0.99. It had to be.
It can't. There's no shot that is that.
I don't know.
Most they could get to is like 0.93 or 0.93.
Whatever the highest is.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be at least 0.8.
0.89.
I know. Okay.
But the highest XG is if you have the ball on the line, no goalkeeper.
Right.
That's the highest.
Yeah, yeah. That's literally, like, literally on the line.
And that's like 97% goes in. You gotta be really dumb for this not to go in. You gotta be like Welbeck for this not to go in. You know what I mean? Not that he's dumb, but you gotta be someone who is known to miss some easy shots. And the fact that he missed that, I was like, nah. But he's gonna get another chance. It did make me swing the other way. It didn't make me go like, yo, this is United's day. I was just like, bro, this all you did was make him angrier. You know what I mean? All you did was make him more furiously want to score.
Yeah, I mean, it's unusual for him to miss such an opportunity.
So me and Nico had an argument. Maybe we could play it. I know you can't play it on the show, but maybe you could look at it.
Okay.
I think the way the cross came in, where he was running, it was too high for him to really get a foot on it and too low for him to get his head on
it. Yeah, that it was at a weird angle, but
Not an excuse
because we've seen Erling Haaland could do a double backflip, bicycle kick, and you're like, oh, okay, this is par for the course for Erling Haaland.
He's got that, like, Terminator movie vision, you know what I mean? Or what, Predator.
Yeah.
And all he sees is the goal in the bowl.
Exactly.
But it just felt like it was put in an awkward position. Not an excuse for him to miss it in any way, shape, or form.
Erling Haaland, all game is always like,
yo, pass me the rock. Pass me the ball, bro. You see me where? You see what I'm at? Yeah.
He wakes up in the morning and he's like,
yeah, I really want to score a goal right
now. So that's what we expect from him. But yes, you think.
In fact, his head is
like, you should score a goal right now. Score.
My man
score.
Is.
They're going to drop you. Score.
It's like.
Pep hates me. I must
now it's his inner voice.
Just yes.
And Pep is like.
Please score. I am from España.
The Erling Haaland's inner monologue and Pep Guardiola's actual voice right there. You heard it.
Shout out to them for joining the show.
Really yeah, that's that what it really sounds like. I hope people just like for some reason missed the first few minutes of this show and then just kind of started paying attention to their AirPods and they're like, what is happening?
Okay, so this is going to cause a problem for the next couple of years. So get used to it, everybody. This soundboard.
Phil Foden's head is like, you know what I like?
Shout out to Phil Foden. It was a game where that second half, I don't know exactly what happened at halftime, but I would imagine.
I'll tell you, bro, United got nobody. You saw their subs, a 19-year-old you never heard of. They have Amrabat, which honestly, did you see him, his mistake for the goal?
I did. So bad. Yeah.
Amrabat's like a completely, dude, you cannot purchase a player. Because of the way they played in the tournament. It just never works out, man. Dude, I think it's a small
everybody
handful.
Wants players based on the way they play at tournaments.
I know. That's the biggest mistake.
You're like, who's this dude at the World Cup that plays for Chile?
Yeah.
Why isn't he
him on my team.
Why isn't he the starting striker for my team? You know
and
what
then
I mean?
You're like, bro, this guy can't tie his own shoes.
But that's the thing. I mean, you know, the especially with you bring in a player like that. It's like you bring in a midfielder. When you bring in a midfielder, you are...
And remember, Erik ten Hag basically said he would... paraphrasing that he would sort of cure a lot of their ills.
Right.
Granted, that was when they had Lisandro Martinez and their back line. They're very injured at the moment.
There's a certain thing that happens. With midfielders, you bring in a midfielder, you want a person that is like... Give me some peace of mind.
Yeah.
That's all I want. I just don't want mistakes out of you. I don't need you to score a bunch of goals.
Right.
I don't need, you know, goal line clearances from you.
You've got no other responsibilities besides focus.
Focus.
That's all I need.
Pass
is focus.
To the guys that have the same jersey as you.
Yeah. Keep the ball at your feet until you're ready to pass.
Yeah, because
don't hand it to the guys in powder blue.
It was a poor giveaway. In a very dangerous area, and then as soon as Erling Haaland got the ball, there's something. This is why he's such a great striker because he's incredible with both feet. Except,
he really is.
Except from when he hit it over the bar.
Yeah. Don't make it too easy.
Don't make it too easy. But I love what he did because as the ball, he takes a touch, and as the ball is rolling towards inside the 18-yard box, he's lining up Onana to see what he's gonna do. He looks like he's about to strike it with his right foot. Then he moves to the other side of the ball and hits it with his left or right. Onana's like, I don't know if you're going near post, far post. I don't know.
I think that's two dudes. I don't think that's one guy out there.
For it, it's hard to tell sometimes whether Erling Haaland is left or right footed. I mean, that's it.
You almost have
incredible
to guess
striker
when he's
he is.
Taking a shot.
It's so so wild. But yeah, a terrible mistake from Amrabat. And obviously he's getting.
But look at the subs. They brought in Willy Kambuala. A 19-year-old Frenchman, and as soon as he did, Pep knew what he was doing. He started overloading him with Julian Alvarez, playing combos around him. Antony, I mean, at this point...
Did you see the image when Erik ten Hag is talking to Antony about going in the game? It looks like he's like, all right, you're going to go here. You're going to make a... I'm like, do you believe yourself, Erik ten Hag? What is Antony going
to
do?
Yeah. This is like you talking to your baby, right? And you're like, yo, bro, you are going to be quiet all night. And we're going to get extra sleep. And the baby's like, I got my own plan.
I got my own plans, bro.
Yo, that baby sounds like Pep. what you would call it? Antony, to me, there was one where he was sort of holding his run to try to get in behind. A pass was made. He couldn't get anywhere near it. And then he turned around and he was like, explaining what he. I was trying to do that. You should have. And in my head, I'm like, you wrong, dog.
I don't know what you're saying.
This ain't their fault. That's you. I'm not even privy to the conversation. And I know you are wrong here.
Dude.
You can't get on the pitch, dog. You get a chance. You got to make the run they want you to make.
It's odd. And I can't tell if it's like a confidence issue, a tactical issue. Is it more on Eric Ten Hag?
The answer is yes.
Because how is it? Manchester United they're good players. They know what they're doing. And we know also that...
Which one of those players right now would get in the City 11?
Of all of United's players or just the subs?
The 11 you're seeing on the screen here. Right this moment.
Johnny Evans.
You got Johnny Evans gets in there for Ruben Dias? Would Lindelof be your left back if you were...
There's nobody.
Maybe Bruno.
Maybe Rashford. Maybe Rashford over Doku. That's probably
kind of crazy.
I don't think so. Doku didn't have a great game.
Doku didn't have a great game, but you don't put Ken Rashford do the link up that you're going to need to be on City.
I think Doku's a very good player and has a lot of promise, but right now.
How do you think Erling Haaland would feel about Rashford trying to get in behind the line? He's like, you're kind of doing my thing.
So look, but the point I was going to make is that there were so many. I don't know what the possession numbers were, but Manchester United could not
scroll down. I think it was like 30-27. Actually, Nico made a great point. City had more shots than United had.
They had the same amount of shots that United had possession.
Possession. It actually was 26 this morning. They adjusted it
but
for
this
some
is,
reason.
I mean, this has to be the most embarrassing aspect of playing for Manchester United, and you can't even hold on to the ball. And you can't, like, everybody's at fault. Bruno, Garnacho, like, just...
Dude, the only stat that they win in is big chances missed.
you don't want to...
By the way, they only had one big chance and they missed it. And they're like, are you good
the
on
percentage,
this
percentage, yeah, 100%.
We've got the pieces to begin to rebuild from now.
One for one.
Are you good here? And we're going to do it again next week, fellas.
It's embarrassing. And I don't know. And also, like, when you look at possession numbers like this, I understand that Manchester City are a good team, but Manchester United should be able to, I don't know, 40% possession. Like, they should
at least hit the threes,
some level of control. Look at the momentum chart here on FotMob. This isn't even Rashford's goal. They didn't even have momentum.
Yeah, they do a little bit. You got to zoom in and you'll see a little peak of red on the left. See it right there?
I don't even see that.
Right there, you're on it. Hey,
am I on it? Okay. Yeah. Oh my God, it's almost invisible.
They're like, yo, you started a half, and there's a little tiny one right after the half.
Unbelievable. No, this is embarrassing. I mean, I get the that we, you know, City are City, and you know, I know United.
City does this to a lot of teams, though. Like, I don't want to harp on United,
but
as they're bad.
They can't do this to Manchester United.
This is a derby, bro. This is the point I'm trying to make. Like, there's something that you have to say to yourself that it has to feel more competitive than this.
Yeah.
You have to be able to walk away with your head held high. And I got to be honest, I don't know what the plan is for Ineos and Sir Jim Ratcliffe and Omar Berrada and whoever else they hire. But I get the feeling that Eric Ten Hag is not part of that plan.
I don't see how, man. It's just like it's a big game.
Know, like, you know what they're doing to Mbappe? How Luis Enrique is benching him? Like, took him out of the half.
That was crazy.
He went and sat with his mom.
Yes, I did see that, yeah.
Yo, they should do that to Eric Ten Hag. You know what I mean? Like, yo, second half, we're going to let somebody else get a little bit of run.
Yo, go to the cafeteria.
Yo, watch the mess hall, my G.
Watch the game from there. Yeah, that was also
what do they call it? They call it a cantina. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. It sounds like Star Wars.
Yeah. Or the canteen.
Yeah, canteen.
Canteen is the actual...
To us, it's the round thing you drink from, but to them, it's like their food hall.
Oh, all right. Well, they got to fix that. They gotta change that.
Canteen is the thing you drink from when you want a horse.
Just a quick...
It's the OG Stanley Cup.
A quick just reaction to some of the Premier League results.
Go ahead. You want
to
talk about West Ham, Everton? Why are you talking about
I don't want
other Premier League results?
I thought we were talking about the other European results. Real Madrid, bro. Yeah, that was a crazier result than anything
bananas.
That's happened in the Premier League this weekend.
Well, okay, yeah. Well, I had that in my notes. I was going to mention that. I was just...
You mean... He's going to ask us about it.
No. That is not on the docket for the specific thing to ask about. But the...
Come in. Thank you. Oh, no, it's okay. We're getting a delivery.
We got some mail. It's all good.
Hey, you too. Very sweet. Lady.
Liverpool winning against Nottingham Forest in the final seconds.
Have a nice day.
A big, big 3 points for Liverpool. Nottingham Forest.
Huge. Should have never happened.
Should have never happened. Some people. What was the issue exactly?
So there's a foul, and I think it's Callum Hudson-Odoi. Is he the one? Mm-hmm. He's the player on Nottingham Forest, has possession of the ball when the play is stopped because of an injured player.
Yeah.
And then the ball is handed to Liverpool to restart.
Gotcha.
It should have never happened. It should have stayed with Nottingham Forest. Now, there was a minute and a half in a corner, and there was a lot of time before that header goes in. But the prevailing thought is it should have possession should have stayed with Nottingham Forest, and then maybe they score. They were starting to build a little momentum, tiny bit. And then the future me, the owner of Nottingham Forest, he pops out on the pitch and chases the ref, dude.
Yeah, this is a common. We're seeing this a little bit too much from owners. Yeah. Remember the Greek owner that
he's Greek.
Oh, this guy's Greek.
This is the guy.
The other dude brought a gun on the pitch.
He pulled the toolie out.
He didn't pull it though.
No, he showed it.
He had it though.
A very famous photo of him like,
hey, you see why
I got it. That dang on me. You might want to watch him out. But there was a time when, what's his name?
Evangelos Marinakis.
He was Olympiakos owner. Mm-hmm. He was mad at the refs in Greece, and it was Mark Clattenburg. Remember him?
Yeah,
he was the head of the refs. Well, Nottingham Forest just
hired him as a consultant.
As a consultant, and he said, yo, that's the wrong call. Well, of course you are. We're the guy who chased you. It's your boss, dude.
Yeah, I saw Mark Clattenburg was on like a radio show, and
he said never lost.
he was giving his commentary. But so we're in like a strange space where like yo, Claddy. Get your bag.
Tell your boys.
Get your bag. But it's a little bit of like, yo, you got out of it, and now you're talking about, you know, what it's like on the inside.
Yeah. Yo, I was gonna make a reference to something, but it was a theme we can't talk about, or else we get docked on this platform.
Well done. The Luton Town Aston Villa game.
But it's like that.
It's like that.
I'll explain it in a break.
You all get it. Luton Town Aston Villa, also a really good game. Big win for Aston Villa, winning it late after Luton Town tied it.
Yeah.
Lucas Digne.
Scoring. How about Ollie Watkins? Go to Ollie Watkins real quick. Go back to.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's having.
So consistent.
Two goals.
Click on his name and then go to player profile.
Okay.
Look at the amount of goals this man has. 16 goals and 10 assists in 27 matches. That's the most goal contributions of anyone in the league.
Wow. So, I mean.
Anyone. That's including Erling Haaland, who was injured for a little while. But this man, like, never misses any.
We're getting to player of the year kind of conversations with Ollie Watkins, no?
There's something about him that says he's primed for a big move before player of the year.
I think if Villa get Champions League, I think he's got to be a serious consideration for player of the year.
I agree.
I feel like he's going to get sold to a bigger club. I don't know what he's on financially, but.
Impressive wins. Yes, I mean, Everton did lose. In very just terrible fashion to West Ham.
Yeah, but that Beto goal, though.
That Beto goal was nice, but also...
It's not going to help you in the table, but... Actually, it might.
Tons of misses. He had a couple really bad...
That's what he does, though.
Misses. So, another poor result for Everton. Not that much of a surprise. The Valencia-Real Madrid. We have to talk about this because this was a controversial decision. Referees, we should just have like a referee. Which referee effed up? That's a new segment. Like we got, because there's always one. At least
it's gonna be a hell. We should do this as a top 10. It's a big list.
So the referee. If you did not watch this game, Valencia-Real Madrid ended 2-2, but. Real Madrid are pressing in the end. They're trying to get the game winner.
Oh, they score.
They do score. But as the ball is kicked into the box, while it is in the air, the referee blows the whistle for the final whistle.
Have you ever seen that before?
I have never seen that. I mean,
no.
The game did go. It was in. I think there were 4 minutes of stoppage. I don't remember the exact time, but it was a minute over. It might have been 5 or 6 or something like that. But it was a minute over that. So, but there's a lot of reasons why. There was like an injury. There were reasons why the game could have gone on a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So it's understandable that he does not blow. Nobody would have been upset that he didn't blow the whistle. But the decision to blow the whistle in that exact moment.
Seems a little sus.
As the cross is going in is just not a great look, man.
So what I will say, Gesundheit, what I will say is. I understand blowing the whistle as what player was it? Was it Brahim Diaz who had the ball?
Danny Carvajal, I believe.
As Danny Carvajal runs out of the box with the ball, with possession.
Yes.
I get maybe blowing the whistle there. And it's not like he makes a safe pass. He turns, faces the defender, and starts. And what I truly believe, if I'm not mistaken, the whistle is blown. As the cross is being...
Right, we're looking at the image itself from somebody on Twitter.
This is the moment the whistle was blown?
So the ball is... You see where the ball is. It is close to the six-yard box, essentially.
Yes.
But and you can see where the ref...
Based on where they're looking, it is literally a split second away from getting to the player.
Yes, and the ball ends up getting to Bellingham. He has it, and game winner... or so we thought, and everyone was furious. The coaches, the players. Bellingham ended up getting a red card for dissent after arguing the decision. But this it makes no sense. I don't get it. Nobody would. It's like, yo, nobody would have been mad at you. Maybe the Valencia fans for like maybe because they would have wanted the whistle blown earlier, but. When it comes to refereeing decisions as far as, like, time, everybody's right. Like, only the ref knows. And if that's what he says, then that's what he says. And the conversation, people would have been upset with you for, like, a day or two. And then then people would have gone on with their lives. But this makes it a billion times worse.
So the reason I don't want there to be, like, an actual clock that tells you, the fans, when specifically it's over, is because it removes the... What's it? The subject
ambiguity or not the ambiguity, subjectivity?
The subjectivity allowing the ref to be like, no, this mode of play, this action right here needs to play on. But the negative to that is you're letting this guy blow the whistle in the middle of what is a goal. A goal is scored from this cross.
Look, I will argue that I think the
and by the way, they got away with one at Almeria. Almeria should have had one when it should be against.
Right.
Can you believe they haven't won any games so far this season? Crazy. It's brutal. But they should have won against Real Madrid. But this is a different game.
Nobody's going to feel that much sympathy for Real Madrid because they do get a lot of favorable calls. But I will argue that I think the goal happens because the whistle is blown. Because when you hear the whistle, and we obviously can't play the footage, but when the players hear the whistle, the Valencia players kind of freeze and kind of stop, and Bellingham gets the opportunity to finish the opportunity.
But that's subjective.
Neither here nor there.
A goal is scored.
It's just such a bad look. I understand. Again, you blow the whistle, and I think somebody had pointed this out. The ref. When Carvajal is running out of the box, running away from the goal, he makes the gesture to blow the whistle, and he puts it back down. He doesn't, and then in that moment,
it's because he expected Carvajal to make a safe pass. If he does make the safe pass out further, blow the whistle there. No one has a problem.
Exactly, but
he turns.
And you blow the whistle anyway as the ball is kicked. Like, it's just, but this is just one of those split second decisions.
What was the reason for pulling the whistle out of his mouth? It's because he's like, oh, play is continuing.
Yeah. So,
and then he was like, nah, it's not.
Man, it could have been like, as Bellingham is heading it towards the goal, blow the whistle. Yeah, like, no, done. We're done here.
I blew the whistle like 8 minutes ago. I should have told you guys.
It's just such a look. I mean, these are fractions of seconds that to make these decisions. And obviously, a lot of responsibility is put on these refs, but this is just a bad decision that's worse. The indecisiveness. Is why it's worse. Everybody will say this if you're in relationships or anything. They say indecision is worse than a bad decision because it causes more stress and more problems. So this is what this is what, you know, he made his bed, bro, by not being sure of what decision to make. So
it's ridiculous.
Okay.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Just coming back stateside, it was a crazy weekend in Europe, like we just discussed. It was also a crazy weekend in MLS. We had snow games. We had Luis Suarez coming back from the dead. We had a lot of different storylines to cover in MLS. What do you guys want to talk about from this?
I mean, we can start with let's start with the snow game, because that was so RSL against LAFC, and it was comical.
Yeah, Hugo Lloris was like, man, I ain't built for this. I'm too old for this.
It ain't what I signed up for.
LA is supposed to be like sunny and nice. Ain't nobody skateboarding on
nobody
the beach.
Nobody told
here.
Me America was like this.
Damn, bro. Okay. I can't even see the crowd because the snow and the crowd have the same color palette.
I thought I was just getting Christian nationalism and no gun control. Yeah, I didn't know I was going to get this.
Yeah. Why does Kyle Walker want to come here so bad?
Utah, an interesting state.
What's special about this city?
So look, but as I'm watching the game, I'm feeling it, because as I'm watching the game, I'm like, I cannot wait for the post-game comments, uh-huh, because I know they're about to be lit. Because yeah. Chirundolo
is about to tell you how he really feels.
So as I'm watching the game, and you see the effort from the players of just like, everybody's trying, but it's just like, yo, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Who is this for?
All right, that was just L.A., because Raul Salt Lake was like, yo, we good. They got, like, Caribbean, Latin American players just rolling around in the snow, dude.
Chicho Arango scores against his former team. That's a snow angel.
Slipping and sliding all over
thinking,
the place.
He's like, oh, I ain't going to celebrate. I won an MLS Cup with LAFC. Dude. Nah, he's like, bro, throwing snowballs, snow angels.
He made a snowman, called it Chirundolo and knocked it over, bro.
I'm like, was there some bad blood? What happened out
damn.
Here? There has to be some kind of understanding that you don't celebrate against your former team unless there's a foot of snow on the ground. Okay.
Yeah,
then it's like, wow, well, I'm not gonna have fun.
I'm a kid. I'm being a kid.
We're
here.
All kids out here.
I'm not being disrespectful. I'm having a good time.
So what's worse is that you're not here making snow angels with me.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. At least make me some, you know, hot chocolate.
So that was entertaining to say the least. And Chirundolo was not happy about it. Some of his comments were essentially that the game should have been postponed and we shouldn't be playing in conditions like this. But especially as Americans, we know the I didn't even know the name of the game, but the U.S.
Costa Rica
game, yeah. That was in the snow. That was
wasn't that a snow game?
That was a qualifier, if I'm not mistaken, a World Cup qualifier.
Snowball or something like that.
Snowball, maybe. I forgot what the name of it is. But the we had the other one. Colorado had the one that was like against Portland. Remember?
Yeah, that was like bad.
Two years ago.
Wasn't there like a Red Bull game against DC in the playoffs that was like canceled, but then they decided to play it anyway, and like half the fans had left.
So we have these from time to time. We just have like we've been getting like given climate change and nobody's care for that. We get a guarantee about one snow game a year.
The funny thing is though, this is a summer league, so 99% of the games are played in disgustingly hot weather. And then this one is like a foot of snow, which is kind of funny.
So as I'm watching it, I'm like a foot of. I don't know how it felt like a foot of snow.
But did you know that this was a thunder snow?
Yeah, I did hear.
What? Sounds I've so never heard.
It also sounds like an indoor soccer.
Okay, I play for them.
The Salt Lake City Thunder.
Yeah, that's a minor league baseball team.
Getting thunder in the during the snowstorm, and it was like
Hugo Lloris must have been like, "Get me out of here, bro." I thought the guns was the major issue.
The first half was, it was snow.
Why are we breaking this game down?
No, I'm just saying it's just like the react. It was kind of I'm reacting to. Chirondolo's. I'm setting up the Chirondolo.
I was going to say, Chirondolo said we shouldn't play this game, and Pareja said, yeah, us too.
No, yeah, Pareja's the Orlando coach.
My bad. That's what I'm saying. How badly they lost to Miami.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. I thought you.
It's a good bit. It was a good bit.
I didn't get it. But
Chirondolo's like, the weather out here is also real bad.
So we're used to sort of seeing this in all over the world. I mean, it's not crazy to see snow games. I think it's the thing I was concerned about was that the ball wouldn't move well on the snow, but it kind of did. I mean, it was a lot of snow.
Yeah, this isn't like a waterlogged pitch.
Exactly.
This is more
the
fun.
Ball was moving. The players are slipping.
Charlie said you cannot feel your feet at all.
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine that. So LAFC, it just didn't work out for them this time around. But it is what it is. That is Major League Soccer.
I don't know if you heard, Major League Soccer sent a letter to Chirondolo asking him not to belabor the point about the weather.
About the weather. That was that's a big issue. There's a strike going on right now with the weather.
I don't know if you heard. a little dude, the replacement snow, not as good as the original snow.
Little weather dispute.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple other things. So the
how about Luis Suarez found his knees, man?
We can be built, rebuild him. We have the technology,
bro. If you build him, he will score.
Luis Suarez getting two goals and an assist.
Bro, he looked incredible.
He did. Also, but I gotta give credit where credit is due.
Are we talking about Gressel?
We're talking about Julián Gressel.
Bo, Xavi, Gressel, Iniesta.
Andrea Gressel.
Oh, wow.
My man was pinging balls through. What were we saying before?
Grillo over here.
Before the season began, as soon as Suarez was announced, we were like, yo, and Julián Gressel joined, we were like, yo, who's going to be pinging in some crosses? And weirdly enough, because of the injuries for Inter Miami, they had to put Julián Gressel in the midfield.
Yeah, essentially. And he looked incredible. Best game I think he's played in a while.
He has. I mean, but, the goal, the Suarez's first goal came from Gressel out wide. And it was also, not only was it a great cross, but it was just like, there's something, I think we've spoken to Julián Gressel about this. I think when we did the live show or one of the times he was on the show, but of just like his technique and how much he works on crossing the ball. And if you look at the goal, the first Suarez goal, you see Gressel.
Oh, this is where he kicks it in stride.
Yes.
It is really impressive.
Yeah, but there's something to it. We're looking at it now.
It almost looks like he's meaning to pass it to someone beyond
exactly.
Suarez.
He does something with his eyes where it looks like when he passes to Suarez, I was like, oh, I didn't know he was gonna pass it.
Yeah, why Suarez steal that?
We're looking at it now, but just look at he's looking like he's gonna go far post.
Right,
and so there's something to it's not just out here just willy-nilly making crosses, hoping somebody gets on the end of it.
No, he's playing chess.
Not only is he's making the correct pass, but he is also throwing the keeper off.
Yeah.
Because Suarez also hit the ball near post. So the keeper is expecting a far post cross.
Right. So his feet aren't settled. He's moving backwards.
And look, Inter Miami absolutely dominated Orlando.
Bro, this is how good of a game Suarez and Gressel had. We haven't even mentioned Messi.
Yeah.
And he had a great game.
He had a fantastic game.
I believe two goals and an assist.
Definitely two goals.
Two goals. I don't know if he had an assist, but I would not be surprised. The second goal.
Just two goals for Messi.
The second goal for Suarez, though. The pass from Gressel.
Oh, my God. Dude, Gressel was on one.
Bro, I was just... That little flick over?
Yeah, well, it kind of found Suarez.
It did.
It was like one of those things where, like, the cartoon where everyone fights and, like, the main guy's out of this one. Hey, the ball did Suarez. That. There was bunch of defenders collided, and the ball... And Suarez had the ball on the other side of the fight.
It's just impressive stuff, man. So shout out to Julián Gressel, friend of the show.
Yeah, but this is what happens when Suarez has rest and isn't asked to travel 6 hours.
Correct.
On an airplane.
Yeah.
So can he keep this up all season? I don't know. But I have a feeling at home he's going to be pretty unstoppable.
Messi also got two goals, and then he scored on a header, which is also it's like, yo, is my TV like all right? Like my picture correct?
Yeah,
like why
yeah.
is Messi scoring a header?
Did anyone else actually score off his chest?
On his chest.
Yeah.
Man, you got two working legs and feet, bro.
It's crazy.
It's kind of crazy. But the header, you same thing. Gallese is the ball's in the air. He's like, all right, Messi's gonna send in a rocket golazo off his foot,
and I'm gonna be on the volley. Right here when
I'll
he
be
gets
right here
it.
Preparing for it. And the fact that he uses his head, he's just like, what?
Huh?
And the ball just—I
thought he wasn't allowed to do that.
How many? Can you look this up, Mike? Sure. How many header goals has Messi scored in his career?
Good question.
Because there's no—I'd be surprised if it's—he's
scored a couple in MLS.
Messi?
Yeah, he scored one or two, but it was like we made a joke about it.
I don't
previously.
I don't remember that.
Okay, so as of September of 2023, so that's prior to this MLS season, he had 26 header goals in his career.
26 header goals out of total? How many total goals?
Like 400, yeah, right?
500. That's to be like 500-600, no?
Yeah.
Let me look it up.
Yeah, yeah. This is, so
I never thought about how many goals Messi has scored.
824.
I had 20 some
for club and country.
20 some
800?
Wow. No, yeah, it's a lot. But so that's not his forte, heading the ball in. So that's why it was quite unexpected.
Yeah, he's 4 foot nothing. He's like 5'6", I think.
But still, yeah. So impressive game for Inter Miami. 5-0, absolutely dominant win in the—
But
the
now they got rid of DeAndre Yedlin, and you seemingly, or you assume— He's going to slide Gressel to that right wing back. So he might, unless he tucks in, you're going to get rid of some of this effectiveness.
So I saw this from Matt Doyle. This is, it sucks DeAndre Yedlin essentially has to leave to basically free up cap space.
Did you see Aaron West tweet?
No, I didn't.
It's a picture of a huddle. And it's DeAndre Yedlin telling everyone what to do. It said Messi saw this and said, enough.
I really got it right. Yeah, dude. It's a...
Messi's staring at him like, huh?
He was obviously the former captain for Inter Miami. And just a great dude. We've had DeAndre Yedlin on the show. It feels like it's not a consequence of poor play. It was just we need to...
No, actually, I think he's a really, really good fit for this Cincinnati.
I agree. So I saw Matt Doyle tweeted that his, I don't know if it's a theory or a rumor, but that that this frees up the opportunity to get
Sergio Roberto would be amazing.
From obviously, I don't know, is he still at Barcelona?
Yeah, he's still at Barcelona. Yeah, he's the captain.
Okay.
Club captain of Barcelona.
So I don't know if that was a joke or real. I mean, he is, he covers the league. I'm assuming there might be some truth to it. I don't know.
I also feel like they don't tell Matt Doyle anything. I love the guy, but I feel like he'd spill the beans in his armchair.
I haven't seen Bogert say anything of the sort, so I don't know. I'm just speculating. But
real quick, before we bounce out of MLS, do you want to do a little O's and O's?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we gotta do this. And now that we have the voice, the voices, we can. So all right. So we'll start with woes.
So those are your best player.
Whoa. Okay. So
these are our woes.
All right. So
whoa.
I'm gonna have to say my woe is gonna be Joseph Martinez.
Oh, you stole mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Go ahead. I'll think about it.
Because he looked great. In Montreal getting an away win. Against FC Dallas. I think, Joseph Martinez, there's something to CF Montreal where people, I think sometimes people think of them as like, oh, nobody really wants to play there.
Like a step
sister club or something.
I would
like
say them in Colorado have the same vibe, which is like, oh, if you end up there, that's almost like punishment.
Yeah, it's like some issue because we've seen
and
some players.
I love Montreal.
Montreal's a great city.
We've been there. We love it.
And the supporters are awesome. But there's a little bit, they did the rebrand. They were having some issues, just poor play, missing playoffs.
They had the rebrand.
Right. Because when they had the years that they had like Nacho Piatti. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the better clubs in the Eastern Conference. Now that the MLS is like at another, a new version, mm-hmm. it feels like Montreal has been kind of left behind. But Joseph Martinez going there and playing well, is, I think, just a huge opportunity just to raise the profile of the club back where it really
back
should
to
be.
Where it was when Henri was there. So that, I think a lot of that has to do with Laurent, their manager, who used to work under Wilfred Nancy. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say mine is...
What's your woe?
Woe!
I think my woe is just going to have to be... I think I said Pantsil last week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to say Pantsil again, even though I did great. I'm going to say Suarez's knees. For all
the knees
we mentioned before. Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. Now.
I think we're going to have the same one.
New York City football.
Yes. Yeah. Whoa. We got the same
We are. We, as the resident models for New York City Football Club, I'm getting concerned. The 2-0 loss to St. Louis City was, I mean, and it
was a woeful 2-0.
Without a doubt. And a red card for James Samson, which I don't really think was a red card.
I don't think so either. Yeah, I think he had every right to argue.
Quite harsh. But St.
Louis.
Hopefully
it gets rescinded.
Credit to St. Louis because they looked great. And not only did they look great, but they looked like. They look like, you know, it's Lutz van Aanstel, who was the sporting director, was the sporting director at Dusseldorf. And other Bundesliga clubs as well. This looks like straight up a maybe like a mid-table Bundesliga team.
100%. Plays like a Bundesliga
but
team.
They just the
hard scrabble, run all day,
press.
Get right up on you. As soon as you get possession of the ball, there's five guys in a St. Louis kid standing next to you. Look, 16 shots, 3 shots on target to NYCFC, 7 shots, 1 on target. Santi seen arguing with the manager on the way back off the way to the bench after getting subbed. Things are starting to look not great. There's still more than enough time to turn it around. It's only the second match week of the season. But come on, man.
Yeah.
It is
worrying.
Bro, we're paying for season 2.
it's wild. Yeah. There's like the chemistry's not there.
The group chats are lit. Y'all need to fix this.
It is concerning. So, So those are our woes and uh-ohs in Major League Soccer this week.
In addition to MLS stories, we had some spiciness on the pitch at the Women's Gold Cup, which we haven't talked too much about so far.
We don't get this too much, so this is why it's...
Not recently.
So this is why it's kind of fun.
So what's the question?
Yeah, well, as UN's women's national team got in a fight with Colombia, Alex Morgan was getting in the face of a lot of players. You guys questioned on social media if she was speaking Spanish. You know, what do we make this kerfuffle?
Oye, ¿qué tú estás haciendo?
Alex Morgan.
Alejandra. I said this on the morning show. Man, I've been waiting to see... this type of energy, this type of gulliness, if I may say so, huh? This type of gulliness, gulliness, it is needed. And, yo, a lot of credit got to go to Trinity Rodman, who stood on business, bro.
She was the enforcer out there.
10 toes, dog.
She was out, you know.
Are we able to show this?
She was defending... She was instigating. Oh, sorry, the volume is a little loud.
Yeah. She had hands on chest, saying, "Not my cat, not my Morgan."
We can't show because this is like shout out to this is not footage from CBS. This is from the homie, a good Juan,
Yay.
Who's a fan of the show, who I met.
He's one of the good Juans.
who I met in San Diego.
Yeah,
I was at the NWSL final. So shout out to Juan. He's watching the game between U.S. and Colombia, and he's mad close and got the best footage. I got to give credit because everybody's taking his footage and not giving him credit.
No, we're the ones giving him credit, bro.
A good Juan on Twitter. But yeah, this was just a fun moment. This is a great, especially you know we didn't get to talk to the loss to Mexico. U.S. losing against to Mexico 2-0.
But look, they got the lick back, bro. They came back and said, "Nah, yo, we good."
Because
everybody relax. It was a little slip up.
Because everyone, you know, especially losing that game, made it so that the U.S. didn't win the group. So they're obviously gonna have a tougher path to the final.
Doesn't look like it.
playing against Colombia, you're like
Linda Caicedo, Usman. You think they're gonna get bodied, or there's an opportunity to look bad? But this is the grittiness that the women's national team needed, especially when you got a caretaker manager. You don't have your real manager with you.
Yeah.
Emma Hayes is still off doing that Chelsea thing. You know what I mean?
Bro,
Hanging out with Katrina Macario. You know,
Katarina.
My bad, Katrina. Katarina Macario. I did the thing we did this morning. All right.
Okay. We're discovering Alexis' dyslexia.
Yeah,
so
just a little
it.
Bit.
We're learning about
Shut
it.
Shut up, Tristan. you don't have a manager that's there. The tactics we don't know is Twyla Kilgore doing exactly what
you would assume. There's a
but is this the way Emma would make the adjustments?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's not exactly what Emma Hayes would be doing.
Because everybody's concerned about everything. The lineups,
the way the team looked listless against Mexico.
Against Mexico, it was
the first loss to Mexico since like 2010 or something like that, 2011.
It's been a while. So,
it's been a minute,
and,
you know?
So this was a game where they needed to just show that they can come back from a loss, from a poor performance.
And it's not about making mistakes. It's not about having a bad game. It's how do you respond to that? How do you react to that? And look at this.
Yeah, Alex Morgan
exactly
getting
you
into a scrap.
You should have known. When she put the elbow pads on, you knew what it was like.
Katarina Usman was, she's been doing this. She did this at the World Cup.
She knows how to yip.
She gets in,
she
you
gets
know,
in your
during,
skin.
During set pieces, she's like, all right, I'm going to
work. Yo, you can't out CONCACAF the CONCACAF queens.
Okay.
You trying to play our game
this
in
is,
our house?
They're bringing the Coleman Ball energy. Is not the same as CONCACAF energy?
Nah, it's not
energy.
The same, bro. Y'all don't get it, bro.
Okay. I forgot who the player was, but that essentially faked an injury on the ground. Mm-hmm. Basically, I think it was like, she was like holding her face and her foot, and everybody's like,
how many people kicked you, bro?
Bethany Balser was like, I thought I was the most dramatic player on the pitch. It's like, I think I found
she's so funny, bro.
so Bethany Balser was wild on Twitter.
More like Bethany Ball Buster.
I gotta go back to it. So the even after we see Trinity Rodman getting in, she told another player to back the F up.
Yeah.
You saw that?
She said back up.
She did it in slow mo.
The people who helped land the plane. She did that joke. We don't need you over here, fam.
Because the Colombian players were at the penalty spot. Yeah. They were trying to get in.
That's when you say stuff like, "Yo, your breath stinks. It's hot. You got hot." Hot breath.
Right there. Okay.
Back up.
That stops it all.
Yo, people be like, no, I don't.
I don't know.
Yo, smell my breath real quick. Yo, Trinity just
so, and then
that
she was doing all that. And then she picked up a yellow for arguing all this stuff. But then she still had the gall to nutmeg one of the defenders.
Bro. So, she said, that's on God.
She's like, I
a little something for your mom.
I ain't changing who I am, okay?
I'm going to be disrespectful till I'm 6 feet.
So I like the confidence in this game with, you know, arguably.
But this reeks of a team that's just done taking shit. They're done hearing that we're not the top dog anymore. They're done
damn,
hearing.
Bro, they're like, you heard that, Carly? That's
damn.
What they're saying.
You Carly's like the culture. It just ain't the
same. I don't
same.
Know what's going on. And Carly Lloyd is getting, people are sort of antagonizing her or egging her on to
they're
be like.
They're trying to get her
like,
to
yo,
say
give
something.
Give you take, yeah, Carly. Yeah. Should they be celebrating this win?
Right. What do you think about how they're getting stuck in, Carly?
And then as soon as she responds, they're like, do you see what Carly said? Yeah, yeah. And it's like, makes a whole big ruckus or whatever.
Carly did the real cheeky, like, what do I know? I don't know anything. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So there's a lot of it's kind of wild, but the
I don't give her a lot of
big
credit.
Win. I just want to give a shout out to Jenna Neiswanger. She got the goal.
She's balling.
I think the U.S. has a new left back.
Yeah, I would say so.
I mean, she's showing a lot of confidence. She's already, you know, obviously she's a great penalty taker. Mm-hmm. So I think she scored one penalty already. The goal that she scored was great, but then she's just like. Maybe
she makes that late run that, you know, there's no defender that's prepared to cover her at that moment.
Attacking threat that we haven't had in kind of a fullback. Because even the fullbacks that we have, maybe with the coaching, maybe on the Vlaco. You know, Vlaco's not telling Crystal Dunn, yo, get in the box for anything or whatever. Or
he's
Emily
like,
Fox.
Crystal Dunn, you want to be a center back? That's what Vlaco is saying. Like,
we have a vacant center back position. Yeah. I think
let's
it's
do five center backs.
So that was impressive. Obviously, the Gotham FC fullback looking sharp for the U.S. Women's National Team. And last thing. We haven't gotten a chance to talk about, but the Dominican Republic did play in they were in the same group with the U.S. Mm-hmm. and actually got smashed. They did not score one goal in the group stage. So
Puerto Rico did,
but yeah. Puerto Rico missed out on the knockout
over
round
over a goddamn coin flip, essentially
over a lottery,
a clear balls. balls with the thing that they found in the back room. I don't know if you know this. They found it in a storage closet. They were crystal balls with the you know, fortune cookie thing
paper,
on the inside.
Yeah, and with the...
But you can see through them, bro.
They were folded. The paper was folded.
Yeah, I don't know.
All,
this feels a little anti-Puerto Rican. Wow, someone's not allowed at a Bad Bunny concert is all I'm saying.
All above board. But yeah, if you're not aware, because of the standings in the group stage...
They were tied across
the board.
They
were tied on points. They were tied on wins. They were tied on goal differential.
On
and
yellow
goal,
cards.
Yellow cards, goal score. Everything was even. And so basically the only way to determine who moves on is through a coin flip, essentially. Yeah. And it ended up being Costa Rica instead of Puerto Rico. So, I mean, bro, every yellow card matters.
We get rid of it. We put a Puerto Rico jersey and whatever other team, and you send a puppy. And whichever one the puppy picks.
The way you decide where you make TikTok videos.
Yeah.
You use a puppy to
also,
decide the winner.
Also, ratings through the roof, guys. You ain't thinking like I'm thinking.
So to wrap up the show today, we're going to show a little love to our good friend Pablo Torre, obviously former guest of the show, Metal Arc Media family, all of that stuff.
Friend of the show,
yeah, family. Of course. He did an episode last Thursday, not sure if you guys saw the whole thing, about post-nut clarity for professional athletes and if it actually affects their performance. Two of the people that he had on to talk about it were Sue Bird and Meg Rupino, and we got a quick clip to show you guys from the episode.
All right, let's see it.
This is Megan Rapinoe, if you didn't recognize that voice, sitting next to her fiance, Sue Bird, two of the greatest athletes in the world.
But yeah, so I go to her hotel. You guys are in for the night. Big game tomorrow. Finals. Sue got none.
No.
Maggie was tired.
I was doing a pre-nut clarity. And it worked. I won the World Cup and I was the best player and scored the most goals.
I think there is something to the... stress relief, like I've even heard, especially with women, like during their menstrual cycle, masturbating is like can be like a pain reliever. I think it does regulate you and put you more in touch with your sort of like own body or whatever. It's kind of like can be grounding. In terms of like, is it going to give you sort of clarity or not? I never heard of that. Yeah, like I've, you know, had sex four games, haven't had sex four games, masturbated, not. Like, I just feel like it's, like, whatever.
And so what do you guys make of this, I guess, is the real question.
Okay, as two athletes.
Right. I was just like, what's your experience with
so
athletics
before,
and post-nut
before the
clarity?
World Cup? There's no chance I would ever. But as comedians, this is a topic that I've raised before in green rooms. Because I cannot nut
you
before I go on stage.
You bring this up all the time. I'm like, Alexis, every show? I feel like you're maybe doing it before every show.
I have post-nut conversation clarity. No, I cannot nut before. I would have to sleep after I nutted before I get on stage.
Okay, I'm
you don't want me to say nutted
anymore. We need to have a limit on how much.
I saw your
we're
face.
We're gonna say nut. We have to decide on a number because I'm not comfortable.
Let me go like 85, and then you can do what you want to do.
There's something I'm more comfortable with nut over nutted. I don't know why. I don't like it.
I hate to tell you what I was gonna say next. But honestly, I'm not. I'm one of those people that like. I'm almost too calm.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I become stupid.
This is a episode. Do you remember the Seinfeld episode about this exact thing?
Yeah.
It was like Jerry giving up.
Kramer's like, I'm out.
Yeah, right. They do the bet of how long they can go without masturbating.
And Elaine was in it too.
But she was the one worst affected. She was like, incapable of like having coherent thoughts, making sentences, and all the men were better at in their lives. Like their lives just changed drastically.
Yes.
So the concept of postnatal clarity, maybe this feels like a little bit of a
Boxers and MMA guys are told you can't have sex for 3 days before the fight.
But there's something to I guess the way this is framed. When I hear postnatal clarity, it sounds like this is a good thing. Like, who does not want clarity in their lives?
Oh, I think they're structuring it as a good thing. I'm saying it gets rid of my ability to be myself.
So it's almost like the opposite, the other end of the spectrum to post-nut clarity is like
I have
pre-nut aggression.
No, I have post-nut placidness.
Which makes sense.
I go from roller coaster to lazy river.
Which meaning like you're not as sharp.
Nowhere near it.
That there's something about keeping that evil inside you.
Yeah. I need the that. Because like, you know, they say that chasing a nut and chasing like dopamine are relatively similar.
Right.
Like, you know how cheese hits the same receptors in your brain as like heroin? Same thing for nut and dopamine. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it does.
Interesting.
This is cheese.
No, we love this somewhere now. It's true. So cheese hits the same receptors as heroin in your brain.
Someone
knows a lot about pizza.
Only a food guy would know this.
I think for me, the dopamine is the same as like the aggression that comes from a lot of dudes like, whether it's like making money or chasing tail or whatever,
right.
That aggression, that primal thing, for me, it's chasing the dopamine of whatever, like having something funny to say, being in that moment that on the edge, I need that. If I'm too calm, I'm almost not interested in wanting to be funny.
Okay.
So if I get on stage after I've, you know, done the deed,
you
get what I'm saying?
This is why guys don't call back ladies.
Yeah, okay? Dude, that's it. You made me not funny. But even wifey knows, like, if she's like, hey, we got some time, I'm like, you know I got a show tonight. But when I'm coming home, it's a different story. Like, we did it before dinner a little while back, and then at dinner she's like, are you not having a good time? I'm like, I'm sorry, who's here? I forgot you were here. I'm chill, baby. I'm like, bro, I'm eating everything. I can't even taste this food. That's good. Everything just tastes good.
So, I guess my theory is that maybe the post-nutting is a different...
guess who's in the nutting category now over here?
Maybe the post-nut affects women and men differently. That's my theory.
I don't think it affects people. I think in, like, invasion sports, like, you know, soccer, football... rugby, you need the aggression because sometimes you have to will yourself forward.
Okay.
You know, so I don't think basketball is not one of those sports where I think you need that aggression.
What?
I don't think you need the same aggression you would in an NFL game or in a soccer game. I don't think so. I think you need to be a bit more methodical. I think you need to be a little bit more, there's more, it's a bit more chess versus in soccer, sometimes you need
I disagree.
You need to chase the ball a little bit harder.
I've been watching some of these NBA podcasts and these guys, I'm like, there's like 4,000 plays per possession that I did. I'm like, I didn't even know this was going on. I thought you were just trying to get open.
I gotta be honest. I'm wildly uninterested in all that extra stuff.
No, so
I'm like, y'all figure out. But you get what I'm saying? Where basketball is a bit more, I'm going to come here. Sometimes I relax. Sometimes
it's more
I
of a finesse sport than a lot
finesse
of the other
is more.
Ones.
And it's not an invasion. It literally isn't an invasion sport, which is getting a ball over a line. Where I think in soccer, you need that extra oomph. So I think if all of Manchester City were to nut before a game... I don't think they would have the same XG.
We need to test this theory.
If their XM was high, their XG would be low.
If you're listening.
Yeah.
Okay.
The amount of spooge.
I mean, if Pablo, feel free to use this segment
in
part of your research.
Yo, Pops, let's start with placidness. And then we'll get to post-nut.
I lean more towards like what Sue and Meg are saying, which I don't think it makes that much of a difference. Whether you, I would say I would say probably what makes a difference is like if you have you know have a nut sesh. maybe the day before a game. I don't think that makes that big of a deal.
Sleep readjusts.
30 minutes, but boxers especially don't go for like 2 months in training
because they need the aggression.
Maybe, but all I'm saying is that I don't think if they, my theory is if they did, I don't think it would make a difference. But if you did it, 20 minutes before the fight, I think you might be affected a little bit.
Yeah, you're like, man, he's different in this in round 6 through 12. I also think boxing trainers have said that it has nothing to do with post nut clarity or whatever. It's simply to make the boxer angry.
Got it. Because
an angrier boxer is one who's more willing to win the fight.
Interesting. Okay.
It's like not feeding a pit bull.
Yeah. Well, this is how you have, homes with domestic abuse.
Ouch.
It sounds like you're intentionally creating a violent human being.
Yeah. Boxing? Violent human being?
No way.
But in every aspect of their life. Yeah. I'm saying.
Boxers? Violent human beings in every aspect of their life? No.
Anyway.
Previously. I'm sure a lot of that's been fixed.
Anyway. All right. So shout out to Pablo, thank you so much. A great topic, we needed to talk about for
also
years.
Also felt like a very on brand for us to talk about.
Without a doubt. Okay. All right. Well, let's wrap up.
Hope this show makes you feel like you haven't nutted in a while.
Okay. Feel free to use this time.
People are definitely not.
Also, for those of you who listen with your children, now's a great time to explain what that is.
All right. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We always appreciate it. Y'all are the best. We will be back on Thursday. We have a great episode with Jake Zivin.
Yeah.
Obviously, of Apple TV and MLS Season Pass, one of the announcers, one of the lead play-by-play guys on Apple TV. He's going to be joining us. And as always, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. Shout out to everybody who subscribed on YouTube, helping us get to 10,000 subscribers. We've already surpassed that, but we're going for 20. So hit the subscribe button if you have not.
On the road to 20K, baby.
Let's go. And subscribe on all podcast platforms as well. We'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Stay sharp. You know what I mean.
Hey.
Okay.
How about a little clarity on the show? Huh?
Okay. You need to wait until Thursday before we're not going to allow you until.
Ooh, that Jake Zivin interview is going to be aggressive.
Peace out, everybody.
It's the Cooligans, buddy.
Love you guys.